Genesis chapter 13, please. Genesis chapter 13. While you're turning, I'll give you a little introduction. The beginning of this chapter tells us that Abraham had taken Lot, his nephew, along out of the land of Egypt, and both Abraham and Lot had become very wealthy. Abraham was a very wealthy man, and Lot evidently was very wealthy also. So wealthy, in fact, that verse 6 tells us that the land was too small to contain both of them, and that was causing some problems. In verse 6 says, "And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together." And in verse 8, the Bible says, "And Abraham said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren." Verse 9, It is not the whole land before thee. Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." So, Abraham, he told Lot, we're having, like they used to say in the Westerns, this town just ain't big enough for the two of us. We're gonna have to split up." And so Abraham did what was really unusual. He was the patriarch, or the head, the elder. But he offered to Lot to choose whichever he wanted, and Abraham would take the other. And you know, really, Lot should have said, "No, Abraham, you take the one and let him choose first." But Lot didn't do that. Yeah, I don't think it would have mattered. I think Abraham still would have chose the way he went and given Lot the other. But Lot, being younger, should have insisted that Abraham choose first. And Abraham, it's sad when families fight. And Abraham could see a fight brewing. And he did the wise thing before it happened. He said, "Before this turns into trouble, let's avoid that." In verse 10, the Bible says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Dear Lord, bless your word tonight as we look at it. May we glean instruction from it. May it be a light to our path. God, may it help us as we try to be more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask these things in His name, and amen. I just got four simple points here. I won't hold you long tonight. Number one, it looked like an inviting journey. It looked like an inviting journey. Everything in Sodom, we see here in verse 10, it says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord." As Lot was deciding where to go, he looked out over this plain, over this area, and it was beautiful. I don't even think our imagination can... It said it looked like the garden of the Lord. It was probably lush and green and well-watered and beautiful, and looked like something out of a picture book. And so it was inviting to look at. And as one writer said, we need to remember that everything that glitters is not gold. It looked very good. And he probably, Lot, as he looked at that, and he had livestock, he probably looked at all the well-watered areas and all the lush greenery and thought, you know, this is a good place for me to increase my business. This is a good place for me to get more money or get more possessions and to increase my business and increase my wealth. But he didn't take into consideration the moral aspects of moving in that direction. It was an inviting, it looked like an inviting journey. But there were some things there. He found out the hard way that it may have been a good place to raise cattle, but it was a terrible place to raise children. And, you know, a lot of times people make decisions based on jobs or based on being able to get better things or do better things, and they don't think about the moral ramifications of some of the choices that they make. We need to be careful. Need to pray about things before we move or take jobs and make sure that we found the Lord's guidance in these things. And Lot, evidently, he didn't think this thing through. Maybe he should have studied it out a little better. But it was an inviting, it looked like an inviting journey for Lot. Then secondly, it was a gradual journey. Verse 12 tells us that Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. And then notice this last phrase of that verse. It says, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. Well, you know, as a nation, America has pitched its tent towards Sodom for some time now. And I'm afraid that we've arrived there. We have arrived into that place called Sodom. He didn't arrive there overnight. And you know, as individuals, people don't arrive into sin overnight a lot of times. It's a gradual thing. And as a nation, we certainly didn't arrive here overnight. It's been a gradual movement. And he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Sinful practices and sinful places kind of creep up on people. We're as human beings, and we are a lot of times like that frog, you know, they put in the beaker. They put a frog in a beaker and they turn the heat on and the frog doesn't jump out because it's gradual. It just happens gradual, and the next thing you know, he's dead because the water became boiling hot. Well, people have allowed things to happen gradually. What we used to think was absolutely horrendous, now we wink at. Things that we used to be offended by no longer offends us. Things that used to make us angry doesn't even cause us to get upset. And what has caused that? Well, over time, we've been conditioned. The TV has conditioned us. The press has conditioned us. The surroundings of the world have conditioned us. Everything over time it's been a gradual thing, hadn't it? It's a gradual journey. Nobody usually starts out thinking, I want to be an addict or I want to be a drunkard. You know, no young man, when he graduates from high school, if you ask him what he wants to do, he says, well, my goal is to die with a needle in my arm. No, I mean, it just doesn't happen that way. No young lady, if you talk to her when she's out of high school and she doesn't, I mean, well, I don't know. With all the influences affecting young people today, some of these role models on TV, maybe they do say this, but I doubt very few young ladies would say, I want to be a streetwalker, I want to be a harlot. But you know what? There's a lot of people end up like that. There's a lot of people end up with needles in their arms or addicted to meth or other drugs or even alcohol. Nobody plans that. It's a gradual thing, isn't it? It's a gradual thing. I want you to notice in this verse here, in verse 12, it says, and Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. There's two distinct locations there. I think it's worth our notice. Canaan is the land of promise. And you know what Sodom represents. So we can learn from that. We can learn from that. We as a nation have turned from a God-fearing people to a people that have moved toward that land of Sodom. We now glorify what 50 years ago was actually, it was classified as a mental disorder. we now glorify it and celebrate it. And it's a gradual journey. And it's a gradual journey for Lot here. And it's usually a gradual journey for people to slide into sin. You know, that's why they call it backslide. You slide in. It doesn't happen a lot of times. It doesn't happen real quick. It kind of creeps up on you. And that's what makes it dangerous, isn't it? Is backsliding. It starts, you can, believe it or not, I know you've heard this all your life, but it's the truth. It really starts when you start missing church. That's where it starts. And then it starts, you start neglecting your Bible. And then the next thing you know, you're listening to things you shouldn't listen to, or watching things you shouldn't watch, or saying things you shouldn't say. And you'll find yourself in a backslidden state if you're not careful. And it's a gradual journey. They like to say these days, we've evolved. Have you heard that? You know, I think Hillary Clinton has said it, and our president has said it concerning this homosexual movement. As a matter of fact, when Barack Obama was running for president, they asked him, and he said he felt that marriage was between a man and a woman. And Hillary Clinton, she said the same thing years ago when her husband was, when they were co-presidents or whatever they were there. She said the same thing. But now they'll tell you, we've evolved. Well, I take issue with that. I think we've devolved. I don't think we've evolved. I think we've went the wrong way. The old song says, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to pay. So the lesson here about this is, be careful which direction you pitch your tent. If you pitch your tent towards Sodom, you might end up that way. Be careful about that. Then, number three, it was a sinful journey. Verse 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. I want to say this because sometimes you hear people who don't know any better, they'll say all sin's the same. That's not true. All sin's not the same. The Bible says here that these men were sinners before the Lord exceedingly. All sin's not the same. I mean, God, I can't find anywhere in the Old Testament record where God destroyed a city because it was full of people who told lies. Or you see what I'm saying? These people were exceedingly sinful, the Bible says. Exceedingly sinful. And you know what Jesus told Pilate? When Jesus stood before Pilate and Pilate said, don't you understand that I've got the power to release you? And Jesus, here's what he told him. He said, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Judas Iscariot was in trouble. He had committed a greater sin than even Pilate. So sin, we expect our judges to punish sin justly, and God is going to punish sin justly. There is a difference in sins. All sins are not the same. And the Bible describes these men of Sodom as wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And you know, the name of Sodom is forever an emblem. The name of Sodom is forever an emblem of the grossest immorality. It's forever an emblem of the grossest immorality. And the destruction of Sodom is an example for us. In Jude, verse 7, the Bible says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Sodom is given for an example to us of what happens when men forsake God and go after strange flesh, as the Bible says. So it's a sinful journey. It was an inviting journey. You know, a lot of times, the devil doesn't make sin look bad. I mean, I remember driving down 119 and seeing that billboard and four or five guys sitting around the campfire, you know, pouring them a glass of early times. Looked like a lot of fun there. The devil makes it look like fun, doesn't he? the devil paints a pretty picture. The devil paints a pretty picture, but he doesn't show the flip side of that. He doesn't show the dad that's a drunk and comes home, beats his wife, and the kids hide from him. He doesn't show the people that's addicted to gambling and can't pay their bills. And as soon as they get paid, before they even get home, they stop off at one of these stupid gambling joints and spend the paycheck and show up, and the wife says, "How are we going to pay the bills?" The devil doesn't show that. The devil doesn't show that. He paints a pretty picture, doesn't it? And it looked like an inviting journey for Lot. But it really turned out it was not an inviting journey. It was a gradual journey, but it was a sinful journey. It turned out to be a sinful journey. Lot was fortunate that he had a good uncle prayed for him. We need to pray for our loved ones, folks. We need to pray for those we care about. God heard Abraham. The path of sin is a dangerous journey. Turn over a few pages to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 16, if you would please. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 16. I want to show you what God did here for Lot and for Abraham. Verse 16, it says, "While he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city." These angels had to grab a hold of them and almost drag them out of the city. You know, the Bible tells us to love not the world, does it not? And they just could not let this go. And verse 26 is a verse that tells us that Lot's wife, she made it out of the city, but she didn't make it all the way, did she? Verse 26 says, "But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." How his heart must have broke when he realized that his wife, he had lost his, I think he had some married daughters in Sodom. He lost his daughters that stayed there. I think he had some son-in-laws in Sodom. And now he had also lost his wife. So in the end, think about this. Lot went to Sodom. He went there. And by the time it was over, he lost everything he owned. He basically, today we'd say he got out with the shirt on his back. He got out by the skin of his teeth. He lost everything. If he had a business, he lost his business. If he had an office, he lost his office. If he owned a building where he worked out of, he lost his building. If he had a home, he lost his home. If he had furniture, he lost his furniture. He lost everything. He managed to get out. The Bible tells us here that he managed to get his two unmarried daughters out of Sodom, but he didn't get Sodom out of them. The Bible goes on to tell us that they committed incest with their father. So Lot lost everything. I say that as a warning to you tonight, is that if you fool around with sin, it's like playing with a rattlesnake. There's a chance it might not bite you, but I'm telling you, there's a better chance it will. And if you mess around with sin, it'll bite you. And you'll end up paying the price for it. And sin is the destroyer, folks. Think about how sin destroys lives. Think about how it takes away people's health and takes away their money and takes away their joy. It takes away their peace. It causes them to be a slave to sin. Sin, it dominates people after a while, doesn't it? I mean, I've watched people come into the grocery store 8 or 9 in the morning and buying beer. Now, you can't tell me a bottle of beer tastes good at 8 or 9 in the morning. Why do they do that? Because it is so dominated them. I used to work with a guy And he was a functional alcoholic. Have you ever worked with anybody that's a functional alcoholic or known anybody that's a functional alcoholic? He drank all day. He drank all day. He'd have a bottle under the seat. He'd have a bottle in his bag. He'd have a bottle in his locker. And then at night, I've had to go out of town with him. At night, he'd drink NyQuil all night. He was constantly, and the reason he did that is because he wasn't supposed to be drinking on the job, and if he got caught, he could say, well, I've been drinking NyQuil. Can I tell you something? The man was a slave. He'd become a slave to sin. Gambling, we see that today, makes people a slave to gambling. There's people that, I remember hearing a story about a man down in Mississippi who owned a chain of grocery stores. They said he went into one of those river boats gambling and lost all of his stores in one night. Gambling. It's these things, these sexual perversions. There's nothing but, listen, that's nothing but addictions. It's nothing but makes a slave out of people. The pornography industry enslaves ladies and women, and it enslaves the men who are held captive by it. And yet we live in a nation where it's promoted and pushed. And if you'd have told my great-grandpa when you're driving down the interstate you'd see some of these billboards that we've got along the highway today, he'd have laughed at us. He'd have said, that'll never happen in this country. But now it's right out in the open, isn't it? Everything's right out in the open. It's a dangerous journey. Sin's a dangerous journey. I wish I could get that across to my children. I wish I could get that across to young people today of just how bad it is. Just you go visit these people in jail or whatever and they're hooked on drugs. They're hooked on drugs. And all they can think about is dope, even to the point they rob their own parents. Steal from their own parents, steal from their own siblings. Because their addiction, how did it start? Well, I tell you, it's a gradual thing. They were out in the parking lot one night and their buddy said, hey, come over here. That's how it started. Come over here. I know. That's how it starts. I remember the first night I experimented with drugs. I had a buddy in the back seat of the car. He said, don't do it, man. He was a dope head. He said, don't do it, man. He said, don't do it. Don't do it. Why did he say that? Because he didn't want me to end up like him. And he said, don't do it. You become addicted to these things. You become addicted to alcohol and dope and gambling and all these things. People think they can fool around with it, and they can't. You can't handle it. We, like Abraham, need to pray for those that we love and care about. Verse 29 says, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. I want you to notice that particular phrase in there. I can't help but think that if it hadn't been for Abraham, I don't know if Lot would have even got out. The Bible says that God remembered Abraham. God remembered Abraham. We need to pray for those that we love and care about. We need to pray for our children, our family, our brothers, our sisters. We should never give up praying for them. We should always be praying for them. God hears our prayers. And I don't know if He's going to do all the things I ask Him to do, but if it's His will, He will. But I want to be in such a way, I want to be like Abraham. I want to be that I can intercede for those I care about. And Abraham interceded for Lot, didn't he? He knew that Lot was in trouble. He knew better than Lot did. You ever felt that way about somebody maybe in your family or some friends? You knew they were in trouble, but they didn't. You knew they were going to end up making a big mess out of their life, but they didn't understand that they were. You need to pray for them. And then I want you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. The Bible says, in turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example or an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. I just wanted to read that to you to show you once again that the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah are an example to us. I don't think I can emphasize strongly enough, our nation's in trouble. We are in deep trouble. And as one preacher said, this was back in the 70s. He said, if God doesn't judge America, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And that was almost 50 years ago, 40 years ago, that man said that. But I've got news for you. God doesn't apologize. And so that means that, I'm telling you, if it was a train, you could hear the train. The train's coming. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. And if God doesn't do something in this nation, we're in trouble, folks. And the Bible says here that they were an example unto those that after should live ungodly. But I'm glad to say that he delivered Lot. He delivered Lot. I want to give you one more passage. I want to give it to you as an encouragement in evil days. I want you to turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Last thing we're going to look at. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Last book in the Old Testament. The period between the Old Testament and the New Testament is 400 years. It's called the silent years. I don't know if you knew that or not. It's called the silent years. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. Encouragement for evil days. Look at verse 15. And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, that they that tempt God are even delivered. This is the condition he sees when he looks around. We call those that are proud and those that have set their face against God, we call them happy. Those that are doing wicked have been set up. The wickedest people seems like are in power. The wickedest people seems like they're in control. The people that seem to want to do the worst seem to have the most money and are able to do it. That's what the Bible's telling us here. He says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. That's what we need to do. We need to encourage one another. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him, before them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. You know, as we go into these evil days as a nation, we see these things. And we're blessed here in West Virginia that unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to look at it, we're always last on the list. So some of these things that's going to come down the road are going to hit us last. But either way, we are being affected by it. And in these last and evil days, I think we need to be more faithful than ever. We need to encourage one another. We need to speak to one another. We need to think about the Lord. The Bible says here, and they that thought upon his name, and they shall be mine. This is what God said. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. I just want to tell you today that one of these days, God is going to make up his jewels. He's going to gather all his jewels together. And though it might be a difficult time now, when we get to heaven, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it all. One of these days, God's going to gather us all together. And I've got news for you. I believe God's going to gather us all together in the sight of everybody. In other words, in those that hated God, I believe God's going to say, look at what I've gathered together here. These people you hated. You hated my people. They're my jewels. God's going to gather them together. I'm glad to be a part of that number. I'm glad to be one of His tonight. I'm glad that no matter what happens in this world, that He's my God. And they can't take that away from me. The government can't take it away from me. All the devils of hell can't take that away from me. I belong to Him. And that's a great comfort to me. And we need to encourage one another. And we're going to need each other. Not just us. I'm glad that we are here tonight. But you know what? Every Christian out in this community, every Christian, those you work with, those that you come into contact with, we need to encourage one another. We may not even be the same flavor, but we need to encourage one another. Because we're going to need each other, folks. We're going to need each other in an evil day. So, Lot, this lesson from Lot tonight is, look, it may look inviting, but you better count the cost of it and see if that's really the direction you want to go. I can tell you right now, if I could bring Lot before you and stand you right here, he would tell you, I wish I'd have never went that way. I wish I'd have never went that way. You know what? Big things hinge on a decision like that. Life-altering things can hinge on one decision. On one decision. You might not think it looks like a big deal, but it may be a big deal. So don't be careful, folks. Be careful. Don't step on a landmine. You know, don't do something that later you'll regret. You say, well, I'm saved. You might be saved, but you still make a big mess out of your life. I've watched saved people make a big mess out of their life, and it's hard to get back if you really do something. You might still be a Christian, but it's hard to get some of those things you lose back. It really is. It's hard to get your testimony back if you lose your testimony. It's hard to get your health back if you lose your health. There's no telling. There's no telling if you disobey the Lord and start heading down the wrong road, there's no telling where you might end up. So we can learn from Lot here. Not to go. You know, the Bible, if you just read the Old Testament account of Lot, you'd say, well, that guy was never saved. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, really, if you look at his life, you'd look at that and say, my goodness, he's a mess. But the Bible tells us, I just read it to you, that he was a saved man. And the conversation, the lifestyle of those people he was living around vexed his righteous soul, the Bible says. Lot was a saved man, but I believe he was out of the will of the Lord. And I believe he paid a great price for it. And we can learn from that. I want to encourage you tonight as we... it's easy to get discouraged, isn't it, with all this going on around us as a Christian. We're becoming a minority, and we're becoming to where we don't fit in. I understand that. But you know what? Rather than worrying about fitting in with man, we ought to worry about fitting in with God. That's what matters. We want to fit in with God. My allegiance is to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where my allegiance lies. It doesn't lie with the government. It doesn't lie with our leaders even. It lies with God and the God of this book right here. And I'd like for you to have the same. I'd like for you to have the same heart. Is that you purpose in your heart that you're going to follow God in these trying times. And they are going to be trying, I think. And if nothing else, if we never get persecuted, and I hope we don't. I hope the government leaves us alone as Christians. But just watching and hearing the news every day is enough to make you get down, isn't it? So who do we need to look at? We need to keep our eyes on the Lord, don't we? So let's do that tonight.